Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Pudd'nhead Wilson by Mark Twain, narrated by Norman Dietz. This book was first published in 1894. This recording is copyrighted 1992 by Recorded Books. As a young man, he tried his hand as a riverboat pilot, a typesetter, a gold miner. But Mark Twain settled down at the ripe old age of 35 to a flourishing career as a popular writer of best-selling books. Roughing It came out in 1872, Tom Sawyer in 1875, Life on the Mississippi in 1883, and in 1884, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. He was married, wealthy, and probably the most extensively read author in America. Yet, as his success grew, his view of the world began to darken. He was not alone in this, for as the century approached its end, this era of national expansion, social turbulence, and vast technical change began to create in many individuals a kind of confused identity, a moral schizophrenia. In his 50s, Twain indulged in financial speculation, lost large amounts of money, and was forced to tour the international lecture circuit to pay his enormous debts. Living in Italy in 1893 and in a mood of despair, Mark Twain turned out what is considered to be one of his masterpieces. True to its heritage, it is comic, tragic, cynical, ironic, and joyful all at once. And now, Pudd'nhead Wilson.
A Whisper to the Reader. A person who's ignorant of legal matters is always liable to make mistakes when he tries to photograph a court scene with his pen. And so I wasn't willing to let the law chapters in this book go to press without first subjecting them to rigid and exhausting revision and correction by a trained barrister, if that's what they're called. These chapters are right now in every detail, for they were rewritten under the immediate eye of William Hicks, who studied law part of a while in southwest Missouri 35 years ago, and then came over here to Florence for his health, and is still helping for exercise and board in Macaroni Vermicelli's horse feed shed, which is up the back alley as you turn around the corner out of the Piazza del Duomo, just beyond the house where that stone that Dante used to sit on 600 years ago is let into the wall when he let on to be watching them build Giotto's campanile, and yet always got tired looking as soon as Beatrice passed along, on her way to get a chunk of chestnut cake to defend herself with, in case of a gibbelin outbreak before she got to school, at the same old stand where they sell the same old cake to this day. And it's just as light and good as it was then, too, and this isn't flattery, far from it. He was a little rusty on his law, but he rubbed up for this book, and those two or three legal chapters are right and straight now. He told me so himself. Given under my hand this second day of January, 1893, at the Villa Viviani, village of Settignano, 3 miles back of Florence on the hills, the same certainly affording the most charming view to be found on this planet, and with it the most dreamlike and enchanting sunsets to be found in any planet or even in any solar system, and given, too, in the swell room of the house, with the busts of Cerretani senators and other grandees of this line looking approvingly down upon me as they used to look down upon Dante, and mutely asking me to adopt them into my family, which I do with pleasure, for my remotest ancestors are but spring chickens compared with these robed and stately antiques, and it'll be a great and satisfying lift for me, that 600 years will. Mark Twain.